We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So you start Brian Johnson, and the plan is to ham and egg it from there, to try to beat the hottest team in the entire American League at their place, to knock them out of first in the AL Central. If you do it, you convince a skeptical baseball populace that maybe there's a flicker of hope for a little bit of magic these last 9 weeks of the season. You're facing all-star hero Shane Bieber. You're 4-12 in your last 16. You get out of Cleveland with a convincing 5-1 win. So confetti's in the air. Celebratory horns are honking. The best 18 hours of Red Sox baseball in a real long time gets us to this edition of Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're gonna find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Two wins in those 18 hours, and they're back up to five games over 500. They're heading home to face bottom-dwelling Baltimore. The Yankees just beat the Orioles for the 16th consecutive time this season. The Red Sox, by the way, are around 500 against the Orioles, but let's not go there. Josh Lewin with you. We will keep it very positive on this edition of Sox Daily right after a thrilling, unlikely Tuesday night win where they needed a home run from their ninth-place hitter and a save from the most maligned Red Sox pitcher in years. They four-hit the Indians Wednesday afternoon using seven pitchers to do it. Boston originally planned to start the righty Nathan Eovaldi back into the rotation, we were told, but they were forced to use Eovaldi for a couple outs in the eighth in that Tuesday win. So Johnson, the lefty, who had spent most of the year on the IL, 7.32 ERA, he gets a start. Eovaldi was slated to throw 55 pitches in this, what would have been a start, with the expectation he's going right back into the rotation, kind of for good, maybe. But anyway, the Sox have experimented with Eovaldi in the bullpen since mid-July. Whatever happens with him, I'm just so glad they got a win on Wednesday. The Red Sox would be facing Shane Bieber, who was coming off a win against the Twins, 6-1 with a 2.4 ERA in his last eight starts. Bieber wasn't bad, but the Red Sox, with no one of the seven pitchers getting more than eight outs by themselves, they buried the Indians. They take two out of three in the series. If only Tampa Bay would slow the hell down, if only the Sox were in the National League this year, we'd be talking about a win that put them right at the cusp of a spot at the table come October. But as you may know, they are not in the National League. And sadly, the Rays have been insanely good since just before the trade deadline. Boston's offense Wednesday was pretty much the left side of the infield. There was a home run from Devers and a pair from Bogarts that accounted for all five of the runs. The only Cleveland run coming on a bottom of the third wild pitch. Let's talk Rafi Devers, because nobody in baseball has as many balls hit 95 miles an hour or better. 194 of those bad boys now. Next is DJ LeMahieu with 178. Mookie is at 177. He's actually third. Never would have guessed that. For Devers, it is an MVP caliber season. Not going to win it, but check this. I mean, he's got a batting average at second. He's second in runs, first in doubles, first in runs batted in, first in extra base hits. And you can look at the improved defense and a whole lot of things here. But Devers is not going to win because of Mike Trout, who is the beginning and end to every MVP conversation. He's got the very historic wins above replacement numbers already. 7.5 wins he's been good for already. Devers at 3.8, which is 11th in the American League and about a half of what Trout has put up. But with the thought that he's not going to actually win hardware. For a guy who had 24 games in, no home runs and three RBIs at that point, take a look at La Carita right now. .327 batting average. He just had a streak of eight hits and eight at-bats, including the 6-for-6 Tuesday night. Pedroia, you might remember, had an 11-for-11 3 years ago. The all-time record is 12 for 12 by the Red Sox Pinky Higgins. We all remember Pinky Higgins, right? No? If you're young and you don't know this, and look, it's not like I'm 100, but I'll let you in on this. So he was a player manager, general manager, and honestly, not a great human being. If you want to know about why it took so long for the Red Sox to integrate their team in the 40s and 50s, I know Tom Yawkey rightly gets a lot of the blame for that, but Google Pinky Higgins sometime, and you'll see that old man Yawkey had some company. But anyway, back to fun stuff. I mean, I don't know how we got on the subject of Pinky Higgins. Let's talk about Devers and Bogarts, because with those two, and throw in J.D. Martinez, the Sox now have three of the top 20 in the major leagues in OPS. Mookie Betts is not on that list, but you got J.D. and the left side of the infield here. All of those guys that we just mentioned with J.D. and Mookie and Rafi, they're between 13 and 18 on the list. So it's kind of like they're the Pac-12. No one in the AP top 10, but a lot of teams right at the outside of it. Devers, Martinez, and Bogarts are Oregon, Washington, and Utah. Devers with the first of the three home runs Wednesday. And how's this, by the way? 22 years old through 122 games, 20 home runs or more, 40 doubles or more, added up to 70 extra base hits because he's got triples mixed in there too. That list of people who have checked all those boxes, being 22 years old, it's a two-person list. It's Devers this year, A-Rod is a Mariner in 1996. That's the kind of year that Rafi Devers is having, and I think we need to start paying attention to this. After the game, Rafael Devers speaking to the guys in the booth.
Well, the Red Sox win it 5-1, and Rafi Devers is with us. He's been on fire, and joining us is the very versatile Will Fleming. He's bilingual, of course. Will?
Thank you, Joe. We will do what we always do with Rafi. We thank him for joining us. We're going to translate his answers from Spanish into English. We're going to congratulate him first on a series win and a day that the Red Sox have not had enough of these. An easy ball game, and they win a series. Want to get his feelings on that. Rafi, felicitaciones en la victoria. Un juego bien fácil en una temporada que no ha tenido bastante de esos. ¿Cómo siente ganar la serie?
Sí, tú sabes, nos sentimos contentos por esta serie. Vamos a seguir así hasta el martes que comienza la otra serie en casa.
He said that the team is very pleased with the way today went. They are happy that they won the series, and they know that on Friday they start another one. Of course, Baltimore comes into town, and they look to do the same thing again. Now 8 hits in a row for Rafi, and almost the ninth, it took a tremendous play to prevent him from that streak. Ask him about that now, Rafi. 8 hits en seguido y muy, muy cerca a un novena, una jugada grande de pararte de eso. ¿Cómo estás sintiendo al bateo?
No, tú sabes, me siento bien, gracias a Dios. Todo me siento muy cómodo en home play. Y nada, seguir trabajando para seguir sintiéndome así. Y lo mejor de todo que estamos jugando tremenda pelota, que las cosas no están saliendo bien, pero no estamos jugando buena pelota.
He said he thought he might have had that ninth hit, but he's feeling very comfortable at the plate. Thanks to God, he has been able to work hard, stay comfortable, and stick to the plan, and that's basically the idea for the rest of the season. Push forward, keep looking good at the plate, and keep getting big hits. Now I want to talk to Rafi before we let him go and get out of town about the combination of Xander and Rafi, because that in the lineup has just been spectacular. And today we saw it play out in two different ways, consecutive home runs, and then later in the game, they walked Devers in a one-run game, and it led to the big three-run blast for Bogarts. Rafi, una combinación bien fuerte entre tú y Xander en la tercera. Home runs en seguido. Y entonces, más tarde, en la séptima, después del walk, Xander pega el home run. ¿Cómo siente tenerle después de ti en la alineación?
No, tú sabes, siempre me ha gustado batear así, ahí en esa posición. Vamos a decir que cuando voy a batear me siento confortable. Si llego a base puedo anotar, sé que si es un doble me puedo empujar, igual que JD. Y nada, tú sabes que estamos tratando de hacer lo mejor que podamos en el home plate.
He said he's always been comfortable in that spot. He gets great pitches to hit with Xander behind him, and whether or not he is able to double or if they indeed walk him, he feels very good about Xander and even JD behind him. One last thing for Rafi, just about sort of the idea that Alex Cora's message has not changed throughout the year and what that means to him, because he always seems to have messages of positivity and confidence about these hitters. Rafi, sabemos que tienes una gran relación con Alex Cora. Su mensaje en esta temporada ha mantenido muy siguiente. No, nunca ha cambiado. ¿Cómo te hace sentir esa confianza permanente?
No, tú sabes que eso es lo importante de tener de aquí del béisbol, la confianza, y eso es lo más que me han dado aquí, que juego día a día, gracias a Dios. Y tú sabes que hay veces que uno se siente que no puede salir a jugar, y eso son cosas que nos motivan aquí mismo, los mismos compañeros, los mismos coaches, y eso es lo bueno de este equipo.
He said the best thing about this team is that they have maintained their confidence throughout, and the things that Alex has said to him, even after he's not been able to perform and come through, have kept this team going forward and very confident, and they look to continue that the rest of the year. Rafi, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. Rafi, gracias y felicitaciones.
Thank you.
Gracias mil, Rafi.
So Rafael Devers on pace for 94 extra base hits. The record for a player in his age 22 season is Joe DiMaggio with 96. Devers has a shot. He could have a better season than Joe DiMaggio from a power standpoint. And did we mention Rafi's hitting at DiMaggio-like 327? Now, Devers might strike out a little more, in fact, about 12 times more than Joe DiMaggio. And whereas Joe D was known for an amazing stoicism when things went poorly, Devers becomes an episode of Cops when he happens to even foul one off. But this is some kind of season this kid has put together. And Bogaerts, the two home runs Wednesday, giving him a career 27, career high 27 for the year. His OPS is now 947. That is up from 830 from last year, 746 the year before. When he won a World Series ring in 2013 as a rookie, that OPS was around 680. So this guy is getting better and better and better, and he's still only 26. You put the two guys together, you've got 50 home runs on the left side of the Red Sox infield now. The team record is 58 in 98, if you smash together Nomar Garciaparra and John Valentin. So you've got Devers and Bogaerts running kind of a two-man weave for the RBI lead. It's 94 for Devers, 92 for Bogaerts. And oh, by the way, there were also doubles in the Wednesday game for Benintendi and Betts. Betts has 31 doubles, Benny now with 36. So offense is there, at least with most of these Red Sox hitters. Now, we didn't even get a chance to talk J.D. Martinez today because he didn't do much. It was all about Devers and Bogaerts. And now, Alex Cora, an infielder himself back in the day. He can appreciate not only the artistry of those two hitters, he can appreciate how it was all cobbled together. This was not how it was drawn up at all, but a seven-person pitching staff getting it done. Here is AC.
We talk about it, and if this is the way we have to do it, we'll do it this way. The schedule hasn't been good for us for three quarters of the season, and now, you know, we got all these off days, and then we can take advantage of it. And there were some cool things today that happened. Waldo with one out, and JT for one out, and obviously Nate for two, Cash, and back-to-back days from the bullpen. That's not easy to do, but tomorrow's an off day. We'll see what we do for Friday, but, we won the series. That's a pretty good team. They've been the best team in baseball for like a month and a half, and to come here and play the way we did, it was cool.
Is that the best complete pitching performance you've seen in a long time in India?
I think we had a good one in Arizona. That was like the first road trip. It was a 1-0 game. But credit to Christian, too, behind the play. We talk about it as a group. For him to stick with the game plan from the get-go, you saw what BJ did. He did a good job spinning the ball until, whatever, we didn't make plays and just so on and so on. But it was a great job by Dana and the group, the pitching group, to put this together and to get the W.
Coach, from the beginning of the day, were you intending that you might use seven guys?
Not really, but, Reyes was coming up with men on, so we had to go to Waldy right away. And, some of the guys that pitched, I didn't want to push them too hard. And, Darwinson, he was outstanding. And then JT, comes in and helps him out. So, I don't know, man. It doesn't look fun to manage these games, but it's fun. Just find a way, we've been saying all along, we're in this position because we haven't played well, but we'll see what we got the next month and a half.
Last 2 days, just for your bullpen, just collectively, how pleased with you were they performed?
I mean, we always talk about what the guys from the first inning to the sixth, they have to do their job. And you know, yesterday, although it didn't look pretty because of what, you know, we didn't make plays on Chris, but he went deep enough. Today, that was the plan with BJ. BJ did an outstanding job regardless of how short the outing was to keep it in check. And they know. They understand. And I think they know that we're thinking the same way as far as managing the game and what we're going to try to do. So enjoy the off day and be ready for Friday.
It felt like Xander took Monday as hard as anybody in the clubhouse. How happy were you for him?
I don't know if he took it the hardest, but, you know, there's other people that took it hard too. But he grinds. He plays. And people don't realize how big he is to play that position. 6'3", 220. You look at Francisco, you know, he's shorter and lighter. And for him to show up every day and post every day, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. You know, we gave him a day off last week. Now they have one tomorrow. But I know he's grinding. He's grinding. But one thing for sure, he's not going to give up. You know, it was a tough series, supposedly. You know, he got two yesterday, two today. You know, that's, you know, I played for 13 years. And if that's grinding, I don't know. My career was probably awful because of that, you know, like, I don't get it, but he played well, and he's the leader. You know, we made a commitment early in the season with the guy, and you see what he's doing on the field, in the clubhouse, and I'm very proud of him.
Besides having a chance to reset the pitching, how do you hope, you know, with the off day tomorrow and the coming weeks with all the off days, how do you hope that's going to help the team?
Well, it helped us for this series, so we're going to stay being creative and, you know, have that lead in the ninth and get 27 outs. We'll find a way.
How about you think Xander enjoyed that when they walked Rafi there?
I mean, tough at bat too, you know. For him to you know, be patient enough after 0-2 and then get a good pitch ahead and drive it out of the ballpark. That was good. We have some key at bats throughout the series. You know, the one people don't talk about the Vasquez at bat yesterday, although he was chasing pitches, but it was 11 pitches, and then that one 0-2 and keep taking pitches. Even Mookie's a bat and leading off that inning. So there were good things, you know. I don't know if it was playoff atmosphere, but we were locked in for 3 days, so that was cool.
Is Evaldi still in play for Sunday, potentially for Sunday?
I don't even know. I'll enjoy the off day, and I know we got Rick on Friday, most likely Eduardo on Saturday, and then we'll decide what we do on Sunday.
Alex, how long can you use a bullpen this way?
We're about to find out, honestly. You know, we put ourselves in a bad position, you know, but we understand that we got a shot to make some ground, and the season is not over. We got a month and a half, and we haven't been hot, you know. So we'll figure out. You know, we got a lot of off days. September is coming too, so you know, we just need people to get out and keep moving forward.
Was there a point where you talked to the relievers as a group and said, "Hey, we're gonna, you know, this is now"?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Yeah. But they know. They understand. I mean, obviously Nate, you know, you stay in touch with him. What we're gonna do and all that. And you know, Kastner, he knows what we need from him now. So, and Ward, you don't have to talk to him. Barnes, he knows. So the kids did a good job. They you know, Taylor and Hernandez. And I don't want to put too much pressure on them, but we need big ass from them, and they did tonight.
All right, thanks to Alex Cora. The win Wednesday, by the way, went to Evaldi, the guy who was supposed to start the game in the first place. And a special shout-out to Josh Taylor, who pitched again and put up a zero again. He's actually appeared now in more games since the All-Star break than any other pitcher in baseball. Can we get a little bit of reinforcement action going for the bullpen? Maybe. Heath Hembree's still not close to a throwing program. He's still resting. Where's Ryan Brazier? He was demoted to AAA back on July 16th, and in 8 appearances since then, 1 run allowed on 6 hits in 8 innings, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. He is not back in the majors yet. Cora wants to see more quality pitches from him, though. He says the reports, the fastball location is still lacking a little bit, but the velocity is back at least. The slider should still be a good pitch for him. He's getting people out. And the box scores will tell you that. So maybe we see Ryan Brazier before too long. David Price, when are we going to see him? He's getting better, he says, but there's no timetable for a return at this point. So there's your update on that. Next up, you've got the low-flying Baltimore Orioles coming in at Fenway. Not the worst team in baseball, by the way. The Tigers have them by a full 2 games. Last year, the Sox feasted on Baltimore. They went 16-3. This year, Well, last time they played him, they almost got no hit by Asher Wojciechowski. You may be aware of Baltimore's pitching issues this year. They are real, and they are historic. The record for home runs allowed in one season is 258. These guys are on pace to have that banked around Labor Day. These guys could give up 358 if they really hustle. And as you may know, they've already allowed 13 just to Gleyber Torres of the Yankees. Opponents' OPS against Baltimore is now 859. I'm going to give you some players with career OPSs that were 858 or lower, okay? Ryan Howard, Wade Boggs, George Brett, Jeff Kent, Al Kaline, Jim Rice, Billy Williams, Tony Gwynn, and Reggie Jackson. So just to kind of put this in perspective, this year's Orioles pitchers, on average, they've got to face a lineup of those guys we just mentioned. I don't know who you'd hit cleanup. Maybe you'd hit Gwynn leading off. You'd have Brett in the two-hole, get it to Wade Boggs third. I mean, you might have Kaline hitting ninth in that batting order. He's a Baltimore native, by the way, is Al Kaline, and also a battery. Al Kaline, that's right. The Orioles do have some decent hitters, of all things. Trey Mancini, 29 home runs. Yeah, he really does. Seems like half of them against the Red Sox this year. And I know that can't be right because 29 is an odd number. Nobody hits 14 and a half home runs. But roll with me here. Renato Nunez, stolen from Oakland. He's got 26 home runs. Anthony Santander has 11 and only 59 games played. And his OPS, highest on the team, better than the likes of Michael Conforto, Matt Chapman, and would you believe Bryce Harper? Bryce Harper is 58th in the majors in OPS right now as the highest paid hitter in the business. But anyway, watch out for those guys we just mentioned, but go to town on that pitching staff. They've released Dan Straley, who had given up 22 homers in 47 innings. But David Hess has allowed 28 in 75 innings. Tom Eshelman, 11 home runs in 33 innings. The Orioles have already used 36 different pitchers, the most effective of whom arguably has been outfielder Stevie Wilkerson. He's been asked to mop up four times and has yet to walk a batter in six innings. 36 pitchers this year for Baltimore used already. 40 years ago, when the Orioles went to the World Series against the Pirates, they used 12 pitchers all year. And one of them was John Flynn, who pitched two innings. Another was Jeff Rainier, who gave them an inning and a third. So really, they used 10 pitchers all year, which is something we won't see in baseball again until the Jackie Robinson of robots breaks the human line and we see artificial intelligence rotations and bullpens. And don't laugh. You don't think in our lifetimes there's not going to be a robot baseball league, the RBL? I'll fight you on that one. I mean, that's absolutely going to happen. I don't want to broadcast it. They'll get a robot to do that. But at any rate, the series will begin on Friday with Baltimore. Rick Porcello on the mound. And facing the O's at Fenway back in April, you might remember he allowed the Chris Davis base hit to snap the legendary 0 for 54 slump. And that's kind of how it's gone for Rick in that regard all year. He's got the worst ERA of any qualifying American League starter right now at 5.67. And in many ways, we've talked about this, Rick Porcello is maybe an emblem of the 2019 Red Sox. Championship pedigree, he's being paid very nicely, $21 million a year, very impressive resume. And it's just not working for him. He's allowed five earned runs or more in six of his last nine starts, 8.3 ERA in that time. Friday's Baltimore starter will be Aaron Brooks, not the New Orleans Saints quarterback that preceded Drew Brees. That Aaron Brooks was a guy that starred at UVA, played a half dozen years in the NFL, last seen getting sacked nine times in a game by the Chargers as an Oakland Raider. By the way, what was always San Diego against Oakland in football starting next year is going to be L.A. against Vegas. So thank you, baseball, for not doing that nonsense. Although there are rumors that the Orioles might be sold and moved to Nashville someday. The Tennessee Orioles, I am not ready for that. I'm ready for robot baseball. I do not want to see the Tennessee Orioles. But anyway, baseball Aaron Brooks, 2-6, 6.35. And that's like par on the Orioles pitching golf course this year. It's the first of a four-game wraparound series that the Sox would be wise to sweep. At the very least, everybody's on an uptick now. You lost that first game in Cleveland. You fall to 8.5 back, but you kind of swim your way back to shore with a thrilling Tuesday night win and a beatdown on Wednesday afternoon. Seven different pitchers getting it done. That's the podcast. We appreciate you listening very much. We'll take a little break and come back when the Orioles series is ongoing. And in the meantime, if you haven't yet, downloaded every episode. If you're really bored, go ahead and do it, but probably easier to just subscribe wherever you do subscribe to your podcast, like iTunes or what have you. Thanks for finding it. Thanks for listening all the way. This is Josh Lew, and have yourself a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.